Do a little politicking?
I'll press you across your pimp with a son bitch.
You don't tell your pappy how to cut the electorate. We ain't one at a time in here. We're mass communicating.
Oh, yes. That's a powerful new force.
Mm-hmm. Think of it, Junior.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back here to The Full Story on WYAB 103.9. We are back here in the studio after being out a couple weeks back here in the studio. I was out in California with some of the other projects that I do, but it's good to be back here in the studio. Thanks to Chip Matthews, who has been filling in for this very early time slot, which is not an easy time slot to be filling into. Really appreciate him taking care of that for us as we were out and about. But we are back here in the studio at full force, and it's been quite a lot of things going on. A lot of the upheaval that has been going on, and again, kind of normal what we expect from all the stuff that Donald Trump does, right? It's everything he does. It's something he's been promising since the campaign trail, which it blows my mind that it's always people are so surprised about what he is doing. But of course, the big news for today that we're going to be talking about, the first big thing is it's on everybody's mind, and that is the tariffs, right? It's affected probably most people in this country already through your 401ks, through your IRAs, just in the fact that how much the stock market has dipped, come back, dipped, come back. We'll see how it does today. We're going to talk about that as well. But the big part of the tariffs today is that the Chinese tariffs will go into effect starting today after failing to meet the Donald Trump's deadline that he gave China for certain things, which we're going to talk about. And so we'll see how that over 100% levy, the tariff, how much it's going to affect the stock market today. And again, I want to, and as part of that, I do want to revisit tariffs, right, and just talk about them generally and the purpose of them. And essentially the short-term pain for the long-term gain aspect of them, which we talked about all the way back on the campaign trail. Because again, Donald Trump is not doing anything he's not said he wasn't going to do, right? On the campaign trail, he said he would input tariffs on people, and that's exactly what he's doing. I think that's always one thing that really irks some people about Donald Trump is the fact that he doesn't hold back. He doesn't hold back, and he actually follows his promises, which is something that politicians don't like. They don't like another person to actually fulfill their promises, because that's not what they are about. They're always about telling people one thing and then doing completely opposite when they get in there, including Republicans. And that's one thing I want to talk about today as well, is the importance of the Republicans getting behind this and not faltering. Because they falter, it could be he doesn't get any support from Republicans, which I've said since day one of his presidency will result in a blue wave in 2 years. Actually, about a year and a half at this point. Just a little more than a year and a half. So they need to make sure they get behind that. I want to talk about that as well, just the political aspect of it. I also want to talk about another IRS commissioner, an acting commissioner, I should say, resigning over a deal to send immigrants' tax data to ICE. This is the second commissioner, acting commissioner. These are not people that were appointed by Donald Trump, right? So don't think it's like, oh, this is someone Trump put in, now they're mad at Trump. No, these were acting commissioners they were put in because the last ones left when Trump became president. So they were just already in the IRS. Another one is resigning. I always think that's a good thing. The more of these career government workers that are in there, resigning is the best, which is why I said the idea of you know, getting rid of the probationary employees didn't make a whole lot of sense just because they're brand new. The people we need to get out of the federal government are the ones that have been sitting on their butts for the last 20, 30, 40 years even, pulling those paychecks and not really doing much except taking your mine tax dollars. So we're going to talk about those are the big ones. We may have time for another story, but I usually spend a lot. We're going to spend a lot of time on the tariff part, so I want to get at least those two major stories talked about today. As always, if you want to call in, number 601-879-0002. You can call in at any time. We're also streaming live on Rumble and YouTube. You can find that on regulatorsproductions.com. Just click on the full story logo once you get there, and that will send you to all of the full streaming websites that are, you can have fun watching this beautiful radio face do this live. All right, so we'll go ahead and take that first break, but stay tuned here on the full story on WYAB 103.9. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back here to the full story on WYAB 103.9. How fitting that coming off the first break on the first week back, or the first day back, is the bagpipes. They know I love the bagpipes so much. So I think that's like, hey, you know what? It's his first time back. Let's go ahead and throw those bagpipes back on there, because we know that's just the greatest instrument ever created on God's green earth. So let's mind just put some bagpipes right back on there. Every time it's going to play, I'm always going to reel about the bagpipes. But let's get into our first story that's not involving bagpipes. And that is the Trump, the tariffs that Trump is going to be putting on there. So the Trump administration is hitting China with harsher tariffs after the country failed to meet the president's 12 p.m. deadline on Tuesday to lift its retaliatory tariffs. This comes after President Trump insisted that China wanted to make a deal badly, but they have failed to do so, and so they are going forward with said tariffs. And I have a video with Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt, and it looks like it is actually loaded up just in time. So we'll go ahead and play that for you guys. This is her announcing the tariffs on China.
In the 70 countries or so. I'm curious, though, under what conditions at this point would President Trump talk to President Xi about tariffs?
Well, look, I just spoke to the president about this, and he believes that China wants to make a deal with the United States. He believes China has to make a deal with the United States. It was a mistake for China to retaliate. The president, when America is punched, he punches back harder. That's why there will be 104% tariffs going into effect on China tonight at midnight. But the president believes that Xi and China want to make a deal. They just don't know how to get that started. And the president also wanted me to tell all of you that if China reaches out to make a deal, he'll be incredibly gracious, but he's going to do what's best for the American people.
So China has to call first?
The Chinese want to make a deal. They just don't know how to do it. But the president will be implementing these 104% tariffs on China tonight.
So there you have it. Willing to reach out if there is, or willing to make a deal if they reach out to it. But again, this is on response. You know, everybody that wants to talk about this is in response to their tariffs. They want to put on tariffs, then we're going to do it again, right? It's about time that we have put America on equal playing ground with everybody. It's been unfair for so long that other countries have been putting tariffs on our products, but we've been letting them pretty much do whatever they want freely. How does that make any sense, right? How has our country benefited from that? Outside of, you know, they have these cheap Chinese-made products, for instance, which is seems like almost everything these days. How has that really helped the country when our factories have been shutting down left and right? When we have the Rust Belt, which all of those big old factories that used to employ thousands now sit empty and rusted. In fact, in Detroit, even worse, those old factories, their steel is dismantled and shipped into China. They actually ship that steel into China for them to manufacture based on steel that used to belong to our factories that they once stole. I mean, how is that good for this country? Chinese manufacturers are reportedly warning that profits could drop and are apparently trying to plan for new plants overseas, according to Reuters. which is a pretty big deal. So China was already expected to see an increased tariffs under Trump's reciprocal tariffs plan. The extra 104% was added because of the country's refusal to make a deal with the White House. On April 4th, Trump announced a list of tariffs and declared it was Liberation Day. After the announcement, countries around the globe had mixed reactions. Some looked to negotiate a better deal with the U.S., while others, like China, wanted to retaliate. Which is, hey, if you want to do that, then it's going to happen. That's what, again, all we're doing is reciprocal tariffs, right? Say, hey, if you have a tariff on us, we're going to put a tariff on you. Very simple. And, you know, all the other countries, like, everybody acts like America doing this is some kind of like crazy thing that Donald Trump is doing. But the EU has been doing it for years, right? If you live in an EU country and you buy something that comes from out of the EU, you're used to paying what they call a value-added tax, VAT, right? You have to pay that on products that you get shipped into you. And that's if you buy it online or whatever. And it can be pretty extensive, right? So it can especially increase the price of vehicles and other things quite a bit over in the EU. And they're a so-called much more liberal than we are, yet they've been doing the value-added tax for years. Yet we have been just allowing that to happen. Our things to be taxed over there, but we don't tax things coming. We don't have the same taxes for things coming in those countries. It doesn't make any sense. Why would we not have equal tariffs all around? You tax us at 20%, we're going to tax you at 20%. That seems pretty fair and pretty common sense to everybody. But it's been so against the norm that people get things raised in arms. So how dare America put a tax on us? Of course, we put a tax on American goods, but how dare they put a tax on us? And that's what Donald Trump did, right? That's what he's talking about Liberation Day, is that it's time to get back to, or it's time to get to, I should say, that common sense of, hey, let's just even the playing ground here. That's all we're doing. And we are the biggest producer and the biggest consumer, I should say, biggest producer and consumer in a lot of ways, but especially the biggest consumer. We've lost that biggest producer a lot to China, but we are definitely the biggest consumer, and they have completely. We have a lot of sway in that. So these countries say, hey, okay, we're willing to work with you, America. Maybe we'll lower the tariffs on your country, so you can lower the tariffs on our country. Cool. Thank you. That makes a lot of sense. But China went the opposite direction. They are saying, oh, you want to do this, America? Then let's go. We're going to put even higher tariffs. So Trump's like, okay, you want to play that game? You want to play a little game of chicken? We'll see who moves away first. So that's when he upped the ante. And that's why Caroline Leavitt there was talking about, hey, we're completely open and willing to negotiate on these tariffs, but they have to come to the table. So China imposed a 34% reciprocal tariffs on U.S. imports and has vowed to fight to the end and said it would not give in to tariffs threats, which it says is blackmail. The Trump administration that China's non-market policies and practices have given Beijing global dominance in key manufacturing industries. And the administration also accused China of decimating U.S. industry. And let's talk about that for just a second. Okay, let's talk about that first piece, non-market policies and practices. So one thing that we all have to remember, and it can be easy to forget, but China is a communist country. Okay, now they have changed this idea of Chinese communism is very interesting. It's not like Soviet communism, where it is 100% everything government owned. All industries, all everything is government owned. There's no private ownership. Here, it is kind of a pseudo or kind of a mix between the two with how China does it. But essentially what they do is they give heavy, heavy, heavy subsidies to these factories and these manufacturers. And you add on to the fact that they have very cheap labor. They can produce things at exceedingly low cost in a way that no other country can do because, A, they have human rights, which is not a big thing in China. But, B, they like I said, their companies are upheld by the government itself, and then of course their people pay it in heavy taxes, and no freedom. So it's impossible to compete with China on certain things, just because they have the government funds them, and in return the government gets that money back, a lot of that money back. So anytime you buy something from China, you are directly giving money to the Chinese government. Because, again, they are, in fact, a communist country, and it's a flow-through type organization. And the people who run the factories get to live lavish lives. They're members of the party, of the Communist Party, of course. And so they get to live lavish lives. And then the peon workers get to have child labor and work in sweatshops. You know, we've learned a lot about that in the last few years. About factories in China. Nike had Apple had some problem with that. Apple and this company called Foxconn they're this huge manufacturer in China, and they manufacture a lot of electronics for a lot of companies. And they actually had to install netting around the worker housing. That's because the workers don't actually live in their own private little houses. They have to work on – they live in apartments provided by the company, and therefore also provided by the government, because, again, the government funds a lot of the company. And they actually had to put nets all around it, because people were committing suicide at such a high rate, because they're literally being worked to death. And that was the people who manufacture the iPhone. So when you use your iPhone and you play Angry Birds or whatever game you like playing on there, remember the Chinese person who probably committed suicide in making it. And that's just how China operates. They have no human rights. They have no worker rights, and none of that exists over there. Sort of like in the 1800s, you know, in America, and a lot of them, we started doing industrialized nations. We had very similar working conditions. And then, you know, we are, in fact, a first world country. So we improve those for people, because we do have these things called morals normally. They have no morals. Communist country never has morals. It's whatever's best for the party. And if people have to die in the middle of it, who cares? But it's that, like I said, that addition of the fact that they also subsidize all these companies heavily. As I talked about a few months ago, the EU is imposing a tariff on electric vehicles, an extra tariff, I should say. They have the VAT, but then they're going to put an extra tariff on electric vehicles made in China, because China can make an electric vehicle and sell it for $12,000 or 12,000 euros, right? No European manufacturer could do that, because, again, they're privately owned, or when I say privately owned, they're not government owned, right? They're owned by stockholders and things like that, and they don't have that subsidy that the government makes. You know, these people don't necessarily have to make a profit. A profit is not necessarily what they're aiming for. Even though they get all this money, again, that money gets poured back into the government. That's how a communist country works. And of course, it's the worker, the proletariat, the person that Karl Marx talked about, is supposed to be the winner of a communist country, who actually gets hurt the most, which is why most communist countries fail. But China, they're a little bit different than, like I said, it's a little bit different from how the Soviet Union ran. But very similar in a lot of ways, especially when it comes to how they treat their people. And again, it's pseudo-government ownership of all industry. And what I mean by pseudo is that they're run by companies, but these companies are subsidized by the government. And in return, a lot of that money that the company earns gets fueled back in to the government itself. Like I said, you heard Levitt talk about, hey, we're willing to make a deal with them here, but it has to be, we have to be on equal playing terms, because, like I said, America has been completely hurt by this Chinese economy and by these Chinese manufacturing, I should say. And we've gotten used to these cheap products in America, but it's, like I said, it's an interesting thing, right? Is that the products get cheaper and cheaper, which seemed like a good thing, but we lose more and more and more jobs. And it's like, well, if the people don't have the jobs, does it really matter how cheap it is? And it's starting to get to that point, right? Whereas, sure, things can be more expensive, but if they're made in factories employed by Americans, then Americans can buy those products. So Henry Ford was very well known for making sure that he paid his workers, and this kind of all changed when the union got involved. But pre-union, Henry Ford wanted to make sure that the cars that he manufactured could be afforded by the people who made them. And that is to me, the how it should be for most products, right? Is that to make sure the people who make them can buy them. And sure, those cars may have been more expensive than if they were made in China, but the worker themselves can actually afford it. Whereas now, if you think about it, cars and housing, all this stuff has gotten so expensive, and they've gotten so much more expensive than the average income that the average person cannot afford to continue to buy this, right? And to continue this economy where things are just getting worse and worse and worse. And it takes drastic action sometimes. It takes that drastic action for people to finally get up there and say, this is enough. It's time to get back to common sense. And it's going to hurt. It is absolutely going to hurt. And that's what I want to talk about next. We're going to take another break right here, is how to, again, the overall purpose of tariffs and how we're going to see this play out, and what this means is going to mean for politicians who are typically very reactionary, especially the Republican Party. The Republican Party is the worst about being just reactionary and not proactive. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to take our break right here. When we get back, I want to talk about those issues. And, of course, we still have the IRS commissioner story as well. If you want to call in during the break, number 601-879-0002. Keep it tuned to the full story on WYAB 103.9. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back here to the full story on WYAB 103.9 as we get back into the tariffs and a couple more things. You know, obviously, as the day opens up, things, we get new things in. Just saw a report from China itself about how they are going to put on their reciprocal tariff. So this is coming straight from the Ministry of Finance of the People's Republic of China. So this is straight from the Chinese government. And I had to Google translate this, so in the quick time that I had, so there's probably a few translation errors as I read through it, but it should be, you know, 85 to 90% of the way there. Google translates usually pretty good at most of this, but this is what it says about their own tariffs now that they're going to put on the United States. They said on April 8th, 2025, the U.S. government announced that it would increase the reciprocal tariff on Chinese goods exported to the U.S. from 34% to 84%. The U.S. practice of escalating tariffs on China is a mistake on top of a mistake, which seriously infringes on China's legitimate rights and interests and seriously damages the rules based multilateral trading system. Sorry, it was a little cut off there. It says, in accordance with tariff law of the People's Republic of China, the customs law of the People's Republic of China, the foreign trade law of the People's Republic of China, and other laws and regulations, and the basic principles of international law, and with their approval of the State Council, starting at 12:01 on April 10th, 2025, and that would be 12:01 Chinese time, which is a few hours ahead of us. I think, how many are they ahead of us? Like 12 hours? I think they're 12 hours or 11 hours. It's either 12 or 11. So essentially by noon today, our time, they will, on 25, the tariff increase measure on imported goods originating from the United States will be adjusted. The relevant matters are as follows. One, adjust the additional tariff rate stipulated in the announcement of the Tariff Commission on the State Council on the imposition of additional tariffs on approved goods originating in the United States from 34% to 84%, and other matters shall be implemented in accordance with the Tax Committee Announcement Number 4 of 2025, signed the State Council Tariff Commission on April 9th, 2025. That's also interesting, too, that they actually have a They actually have a tariff commission. How come we don't have a tariff commission? I guess we have the IRS, but that's the tariffs on our own people. We should have our own tariff commission. We should have tariff czar, if one will. So that's what they're doing, their reciprocal tariff from 34% to 84%. And this is causing stock futures to fall to where they were. So right now, they fell back toward their session lows, and European bonuses as well are getting hit. We're looking at stock futures here. They are right now. Dow Jones is down 300. It was down 320 yesterday. Had a little bit of a bounce back in that. But they are looking at the S&P 500 is looking to be down. Its futures down 1.74%. As we're getting those numbers in, again, it's these things are consistently updating. So I'm looking at them right as I'm telling you them, which is not typically something I like to do. I like to research things beforehand. But again, this is breaking. This is all breaking news. Let's see here. I'm just trying to find the. We also have a sell-off of U.S. Treasuries. The yield on the 10-year note was recently at 4.42% after rising as high as 4.47% on early in Wednesday. Like I said, S&P 500 is down more than 1%, and the Bank of England has said that there'd be risk of further sharp corrections if these things start remaining high, and that's in the obviously their market over there. And so a lot of the Asian European markets have slid so far, with the Nikkei 225, which is from Japan, closing at 3.9% lower. Which is interestingly enough, the Shanghai Composite Index, which is obviously Hong Kong, closed 1.3% higher yesterday. It is as we're seeing what is going on in all of these with the stock market. And again, that's what's going to hurt a lot of people, and that's what makes politicians nervous. But again, the whole point of these tariffs is that, yes, it is going to hurt, right? Tariffs are going to hurt a lot of people because we have become so reliant on foreign industry, and that's a problem. It's such a problem that, again, it's been hurting us over the long run, right? And it's hard for us to see how much that was, right? Because our society has changed so much. We've gotten so used to these cheap goods that we have been getting, that it's hard for us to really put into perspective those things that we have lost. And again, you start to see it, right? You just drive through anywhere in the Rust Belt of all those things that we have lost. But it's time for a correction. And it's unfortunate that it has to be such a hard correction, but it is time to do so. And now that we've gotten used to those cheap imports, like I said, it's been to the detriment of us, not only in manufacturing, but the fact that we're not getting any tax dollars from it. We're not getting anything to slow down that at all. In fact, we've been encouraging taking away of jobs in America. Offshoring. That's what I was thinking of a word. It was offshoring that I was trying to think of. This active offshoring, and it has hurt us in almost every industry, and it's hurt us overall as Americans, as we've lost good manufacturing jobs, right? Because, you know, manufacturing jobs used to be hard, used to be rough, right? And then over time, we improved the worker safety. We improved a lot of things about it. And it was a job that people could work in. They could go work for a company that had a factory, and they could work there for 20 years and get a pension, right? Or if they wanted to, they could work their way up. They could start in the factory. They could move into management, get business degrees, and then one day be an executive at that company if they were fortuitous or they had that drive about them, right? And that's a success story in America that we have saw time and time again, especially early in the 20th century. A lot of Americans found the American dream that way. But now there's no place for that even to start. And we started pushing, oh, you need college degrees. And we found out that, hey, these college degrees aren't making us any more money because there's no jobs to be had with those companies. It's put us in this bad position. And we've gotten so used to it, but it needs to have that correction. And it's going to take a hard correction, right? And that means it's going to hurt in the short term. It's going to hurt for a couple of years. Because some industries, we become, again, so reliant on foreign trade that we don't have the facilities here anymore. Now, some companies, like the automotive companies, in fact, Lincoln makes a car in China, believe it or not. Of course, Buick does as well. They've gotten so used to, they can just outsource to China. Hey, let's get those things made and shipped over here, right? And those are American brands that are producing things in China. But they still have factories here. So it is easier for them to move back. Now, that Lincoln's going to cost more. But the funny thing is, if you've really seen it, though, especially in cars, is that they didn't get any cheaper when they moved to China. You know, that was just increased profit from the company. They said, look, people will still buy that same car at the same price. We just move production over to China, and our profit increases from 30% to 60%. Right, you see a lot of that going on as well. You know, now they're going to be in a tough spot where now that car can't be as cheap as it was when it was made here in America. And that's the idea, right? That's the whole point, is to make these things more expensive, to force American consumers to pay more in order to, well, let's say, what is the most someone will pay for a product? It's different for each product, right? But the idea of tariffs is you got to raise that price so high that they will no longer buy it, right? And therefore, it's going to force the companies to move back to America. And all it's going to take is one company who wants to get ahead of that, right? Whatever industry, right? One company in that industry to say, you know what? We're going to build a factory in America. And we're going to build that factory, and we're going to make the prices the same or cheaper than what they're in China, because we're going to take advantage of that tariff. And then once they do that, everybody else is going to be forced to follow. So the problem is that it takes dedication to the tariff, right? Because it can take a year or more, right? It could take 2 or 3 years. It could take 4 or 5 years. It could take more than 6 years for some industries, sometimes more than 10 years. But you got to stick to it, because if you do it now, if you take it where it's just the companies right now, all they're going to do is they're going to do a wait and see approach, right? They're going to raise their prices to account for the tariffs. That's all they're going to do. And the American consumer is going to pay more, and they're going to wait and see. What you have to do is you have to say, nope, this tariff is here to stay. And if you do that, they're like, okay, it's here to stay. Maybe we need to move back to America. But you have to have it for that long. And if the Republicans in Congress and the Republicans don't get behind that and they say, oh, no, we're not going to – we got to get away from it. People are angry that their stocks are down. They're angry that their stocks are down and their IRAs are down. We got to change this. We got to take off the tariffs. Then all you have is a short-term pain with none of the gain, right? You got to take that early hits to be able to survive the tariff in the long run, if you want a chance to survive. And that's a tough thing to do. Tariffs are a tough thing to do politically, because it is going to hurt a lot of Americans from the early, right? It's just like a medicine that's going to hurt you to begin with. But the idea is it's going to heal you by the end. It may hurt a lot when you get it, right? You put alcohol in a wound to clean it. It hurts like crap when you first put it on there, but it's going to kill that bacteria, right? It's going to get rid of that bacteria that would make that wound much more worse if you didn't have it. It's the same thing with tariff. That right now we're in that initial sting phase where it hurts like crap, right? You just got to wait it out. You as the politicians, the politicians have to stick to it, or else it's all going to be for nothing. And that's always the toughest thing. All right, we're going to take our last break right here. We'll get back. We'll do This Day in History. But keep it tuned to the full story on WYAB 103.9. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back here to the full story on WYAB 103.9 as we get to This Day in History. And it's a pretty big one, because on this day, on April 9th, 1865, in a modest brick house in the quiet village of Appomattox Courthouse, two men met across a wooden table. One wore the rumpled uniform of a general who had been in the field too long. The other, polished and composed in gray, bore the weight of a lost cause. That morning, General Robert E. Lee, commander of the Confederate Army of Northern Virginia, surrendered to Union General Ulysses S. Grant, and it was the beginning of the end of the American Civil War. But what made that moment truly remarkable in history was the spirit in which it was carried out. Grant, ever mindful of the fragile peace ahead, offered very lenient terms. Confederate soldiers could go home with their horses, which was vital for planting crops in the spring. Officers kept their swords and sidearms. No parades of defeat, no harsh punishments, just a quiet handshake and a promise of "let us have peace." Lee accepted the terms with grace. His soldiers wept as he rode away, many tipping their hats in silent respect. Outside, Union troops began to cheer, but Grant ordered silence. He said this was not a day for gloating. It was a day to begin rebuilding the Union one step at a time. Now, though other Confederate armies would hold out for a few more weeks, Lee's surrender marked the symbolic close to the Civil War, and with it, the long road towards Reconstruction, reconciliation, and civil rights. And that's the one thing I've always loved about General Grant, is that he understood, and President Lincoln as well, that, hey, this was, after the Confederacy, it was a time to rebuild the nation, to come together as one, something we have lost in this country. And General Grant and President Lincoln embodied that. It's like, let's not just go after our opponents. They just literally fought a war with them. But instead of just going out to punish them, they said, we're going to heal. We're going to come together so we can try to survive again as a nation, which is why General Grant will always be one of my favorite generals, and why President Lincoln has a great memorial in Washington, D.C. All right, that's all I have for you guys today. We'll see you again tomorrow. But until then, my name is Matthew Bishop, and you've heard the full story.
Bye, 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 baby, bye, bye.